Since autism was first described in the 1940s, there have been lots of theories about what causes it. At first, parents got the blame for children who had problems interacting with other people. Psychologists said a lack of nurturing led to their profound isolation. More recently, childhood vaccines or pollution have come under suspicion. None of these theories has been supported by scientific studies, but there is strong scientific evidence that autism begins in the genes. And as NPR's John Hamilton reports, researchers say that they're close to discovering which genes.
Edwin Cook remembers growing up with his brother Kenneth, who had all the major signs of autism.
He wanted things just so. Some of that would lead to rages over not having exactly the right, or actually cassette tapes were a problem. They were great as long as they were running, but if one broke, you better get a replacement right away.
Today, Edwin is Dr. Cook of the University of Chicago. He has spent most of his professional life looking for an autism gene, a faulty string of DNA that could explain why one brother was able to become a scientist while the other was trapped by his single-mindedness.
On the other hand, part of that was an amazing skill, and I sometimes wonder if I don't have part of it when I'm doing research, which he could find the exact place on an LP where his favorite song would start. And this is in someone who didn't say his first sentence until he was about 16.
The first compelling evidence that genes might cause the sort of developmental abnormalities Kenneth had came from a study done in England in the 1970s. Dr. Susan Folstein of Tufts University was a junior researcher who worked on the project.
What I did was to identify all the families in England that had one or more twins with autism, and then go around the countryside seeing all these twins and interviewing their parents.
She compared identical twins who come from a single egg and have identical genes with so-called fraternal twins who come from separate eggs and have only about half their genes in common. Folstein, who's now at Tufts University, found that if one identical twin was autistic, it was very likely that the other twin was too. For fraternal twins, the chance was much lower. That was a powerful indication that a person's genes determined their risk of autism. The discovery was exciting but frustrating. This was decades before the Human Genome Project, and scientists had no idea how to pinpoint those genes or find out what they did. Dr. Anthony Bailey is a psychiatrist at Oxford University in England.
It's only since the early to mid-1990s that people have been able to start looking for genes whose function they don't know, and additionally, they don't know where they're located.
Bailey says it's now possible to read a person's genetic code letter by letter. The challenge is to identify stretches of code that occur only in people with autism.
The way that most groups have approached this problem is the scientific equivalent of searching for a needle in a haystack. So if you're ever faced with that task, I suspect what most people might do is take the haystack apart and then pass a metal detector over each bale. And then, of course, one would look more intensively in the bales that seem to give a signal.
In this case, the bales are bundles of DNA called chromosomes. Scientists have reported strong signals on several chromosomes, notably 2 and 7. And this suggested where to start looking for specific genes. Dr. Edwin Cook says scientists are steadily closing in on several genes involved in autism.
If the genome was the U.S., we'd be down to, let's say, the southern part of Illinois. That's certainly not where we want to be. We want to be at a specific address, specific gene, specific variations within a gene. But I think it's important to do the first narrowing down.
Cook, who has become a leading figure in autism research, says perseverance is one of the things he learned from his autistic brother, Kenneth, who died in his 20s. But Cook didn't want to spend all his time searching for needles in haystacks, so he took a different tack. Scientists know that serotonin, a chemical messenger that can affect mood, is often elevated in people with autism. So why not see if a gene that affects serotonin is different in people with autism?
We essentially called a shot saying we think this gene will be involved, which is always risky. There's a very good chance that it's not going to be the right candidate.
So far, the results have been inconclusive. That's frustrating for Cook. But he says giving up isn't an option.
I do this because I have to. In the way that I always wanted to know what was wrong with my brother and to help him. And even though he's not here, that's still what drives me.
Other researchers say they have no doubt they will find the genes involved in autism within a few years. They hope that discovery will bring ways to prevent and treat the disorder. John Hamilton, NPR News, Washington.